Hey there, Vermont Edition listeners. Hope you like dogs, because this one is short and sweet like a Dachshund. How do I know? Because I'm Tedra Meyer, Vermont Edition producer, and I just edited it down. Hope you like it.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Representative Becca Ballant was sworn into the U.S. House earlier this month, becoming the first woman Vermont has ever sent to Congress. But state historians noted another anniversary. Just over 102 years earlier, Vermont was celebrating its first female legislator, Edna Beard. The Vermont Historical Society noted Beard's historic election in a post on Instagram, and that got us asking about who she was and what motivated her to run a century ago. Amanda K. Guskin, Director of Collections and Access at the Vermont Historical Society, told us about Edna Beard and other women who made Vermont political history.
Edna Beard was the first woman elected to serve in the Vermont House of Representatives. She was from Orange, Vermont. She was born actually in Illinois in 1877, but her family moved to Orange and farmed when she was 10 years old. And she grew up really in Orange and Orange County. She actually went to high school in the building I'm sitting in right now, the Spalding High School in Barrie, Vermont. And after high school, she became a teacher, and eventually she became treasurer for the town of Orange. And she was serving as treasurer for the town of Orange when she decided to run for the legislature. So this is a moment in Vermont history where most of the political battles took place in the Republican primary, because it was a very heavily Republican state at that time. So she ran in the Republican primary and she lost. A man beat her out, but she filed to run as a third party candidate. And between the primary and the general, a number of women registered to vote. So this is 1920. This is the first year that women can vote with the passing of the 19th Amendment. And so women in Orange registered between the primary and the general election. And there's some evidence that it was enough women who registered to put her over the top. And she did, in fact, win that general election as a third party candidate, and served in the Vermont House of Representatives in one term from 1921 to 1923. And then she jumped over and did another first. She ran in 1922 while she was a serving representative from the town of Orange. She decided to run for senator from Orange County, and she was elected to be the first woman to represent Orange County, the first woman in the Vermont State Senate across the board. We do know a little bit about some of the legislation she worked on. She only served sort of 1.5 terms, right? One term in the House, and she didn't quite finish her term in the Senate. Her first bill in the House that she sponsored was Act 218, which provided $2 a week in child support whose husbands were, quote, incapacitated by an incurable disease. I guess think of it like a very early 100 years ago, kind of a family leave support for women whose husbands couldn't work, which of course at that time, many households were single income households. In the Senate, she sponsored a bill that made it possible for women to become sheriff's deputies.
So then after her, there was another early Vermont lawmaker who had historical importance. That was Consuelo Northrup Bailey. Can you put her election into historical context?
So Consuelo Northrup Bailey is really kind of an extraordinary figure in Vermont politics. She is born in 1899. She's from Fairfield, Vermont. And she graduates from UVM, goes off to Boston University Law School, and is admitted to the Vermont Bar in 1925. So she's younger than Edna Beard, but not by too much. They would have overlapped. And she has a whole list of firsts. So Consuelo Northrup Bailey becomes in 1926 the first woman to be admitted to practice before the Vermont Supreme Court. And in her legal career, she then becomes elected state's attorney of Chittenden County. In 1930, she is elected to the Vermont Senate just a few years after Edna Beard is there. She only serves one term in the Senate. But it's when she returns to politics, she went back to her law practice for a time. But in 1950, she's elected to the Vermont House of Representatives, and this is really where her political career takes off. She became, in 1953, in her second term, the first woman to serve as Speaker of the Vermont House of Representatives, which is 1950s. That's pretty early. Her autobiography is something else, and it tells you what a force her personality must have been. She was absolutely incredibly, incredibly smart, incredibly driven, incredibly tough. So she serves as speaker from 1953 to 1955. And while she's serving as speaker, she decides to run for lieutenant governor. And when she's elected to lieutenant governor in 1954, she achieves another first, and this one is a national first. She is the first woman elected to be lieutenant governor of any state. And she serves one term as lieutenant governor of Vermont from 1955 to 1957. And then she leaves elected politics, but she continues in politics for the rest of her life. She's really, really heavily involved on the Republican National Committee. And again, this covers a time period when Vermont was one of the most solidly red Republican states in the country. So this is a hotly contested position. So she's the one who calls the roll of delegates in 1968 and 1972 when Nixon is elected. She passed away in 1976, but left just like an extraordinary impact on Vermont politics.
George Aiken was Vermont's governor in the 1930s. I understand his wife, Lola Aiken, was a major political force in his political career, despite never holding elected office. What can you tell us about Lola Aiken?
She was actually his second wife. She was not his wife when he was governor. She actually started as an aide in his Senate office. So he serves a little bit as governor, but he really spends the longest time as senator. He's senator from Vermont from 1940 to 1974. He gets the nickname the wise old owl of the Senate. Vermont likes our long-serving senators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure do.
She's the lowest paid staff member when she starts in his Senate office, but she works her way up through the office. Over the years, eventually she becomes his staff manager, essentially his chief of staff. So she is an absolute political force, both in Washington and back in Vermont. As I said, she was George Aiken's second wife. They married in 1967 after the death of his first wife. When he retired in 1975, they came back to Vermont, and she was everywhere. You know, there are so many people around today who are going to have a Lola Aiken story, who knew her, who felt her influence in Vermont politics and in Vermont community life. So she sort of was just like this extraordinary force in Vermont politics.
So now let's discuss Madeleine Cunin. And listeners, we could do an entire show on the impact that Madeleine Cunin has had on our state. To date, she's Vermont's only female governor. Amanda, can you just put her time in office into context for us and what, I guess, are the major highlights?
So Madeleine Cunin, she starts her career as a journalist. And in 1972, she's encouraged to run for a seat in the Vermont House of Representatives. She serves for three terms, and she gets elected to leadership positions. She is the majority whip for the Democrats. And then she becomes the first woman to be chair of the Appropriations Committee. I think we've gotten used to now in the legislature, there have been women chairs of all of the money committees in both House and Senate for some time now. But Madeleine Cunin in the 1970s is the first woman to serve as chair of appropriations. She runs for and is elected lieutenant governor in 1978 and 1980. So she's the second woman to be lieutenant governor of the state of Vermont. Governor Richard Snelling said that he wasn't going to run again in 1982. So she throws her hat in the ring to be governor in 1982. He changed his mind and he ended up running, and she did lose that race. But she came back and she was elected governor of Vermont in 1984. One of the things that stand out to me, especially in the context we're talking about women in politics, is that she made a pledge early on to nominate and appoint as many women as she possibly could. And really, ideally, she wanted to get it to an even representation of women in appointed positions in the Vermont state government. And she does achieve that. She appoints, for example, the first woman to the Vermont State Supreme Court, Denise Johnson. She appoints Molly Beatty to the Department of Forest, Parks, and Recreation Molly goes on to become the first woman to become the director of the United States Fish and Wildlife Service. There's many, many more. Many of the women who are involved in politics today can look back and credit their time to serving in the Cunin administration. And of course, since then, she has stayed involved in Vermont politics. She founded Emerge Vermont, which is the organization right now that trains Democratic women to run for office and that can claim something like a quarter of the legislature right now are graduates of that program. So she's had an extraordinary influence on the Vermont political scene.
Somewhat overlapping with Governor Cunin was Luvinia Dorsey Bright, the first Black woman elected to the Vermont House. What can you tell us about Luvinia?
So she was a lifelong educator, and eventually she becomes an associate professor of education at the University of Vermont. And she ran for and won a seat in the Vermont legislature in 1989. And she became the first Black woman to hold a seat in the Vermont legislature in either House or Senate. And at the time, she was one of only two Black members of the Vermont legislature, the other being Frances Brooks. She served until 1994, so three terms, and then had to give up her seat when her family moved to Illinois, which is where she was from originally. A force, and again, her legacy continues today. A number of people have founded the Bright Leadership Institute to support women of color in Vermont politics today.
And then there's also another person of color, Angela Lawrence. She, who also had a first in Vermont. Can you tell us about her?
Yeah, Angela Lawrence. This is a brand new first. Angela Lawrence is the first woman of color to serve as a high bailiff in Vermont. She was elected this past November to serve as high bailiff for Windham County.
As we mentioned earlier this month, Becca Ballant made history as the first woman Vermont ever sent to Congress. How do we compare that with what we've seen in other states?
Unfortunately, that makes us last. Vermont was the last state to send a woman as federal representative to Congress. Mississippi was second to last. Representative Ballant holds another first. She was the first woman to serve as president pro tem of the Vermont Senate and the first openly LGBT person to serve as president pro tem of the Vermont Senate as well. So she's got a number of firsts to her name. I think there are a lot of reasons for this, but I think top of the list is Vermont's propensity for keeping people in those federal congressional positions for a very long time. Throughout history, women have always been a political force. I think that if we were to do an in-depth study of the 19th century and the 18th century, we would find women as movers and shakers behind the scenes. You can look, for example, to Clarina Howard Nichols, who is the first woman to address the Vermont legislature in the 19th century. Women were making their voices heard, and they were serving in local elected offices before they were able to serve at the state level. We need to do a lot more work to uncover and really understand women's influence in politics, because we often pay attention to the elected positions in the first, because those are the easiest to see, and those are the easiest to figure out and understand. But politics is oftentimes a lot about who is in the room. And I would argue that women have always been in the room, and they have always been influencing Vermont politics, even when we haven't seen them as the figurehead in an elected position. But I am also, as a woman, thrilled now to see so many women serving across elected positions across the state of Vermont, in the legislature, and of course, representing us in Washington, D.C.
That's Amanda K. Gustin, Director of Collections and Access at the Vermont Historical Society. Amanda, thanks for the great trip through Vermont history. Really appreciate you.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.